You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There are some words that I don't always get to say in my job, things that would be fun to say. And this could go a lot of ways right now, let me tell you. But we're going to go this way. In the 1991 film Terminator 2, Judgment Day, there is a line, "Come with me if you want to live." Maybe you know this line. I'm not going to do the voice. I can do the voice, but I'm not going to do the voice. It is one of the best phrases, but as a priest, I don't get to say it very often because it's a little corny when you hear it from somebody who works in religion. Come to church if you want to live. I should be twirling a sign on Waco and Valley Mills rather than saying that. It's just not as cool when I say it. I'm not a cyborg. I'm not saving the world. I am your geeky priest up here. But this phrase, "come with me if you want to live," is a phrase that pops up in our liturgy, in our scriptures. Maybe not in the way and in the context of the film, especially not the Terminator, but it does come to us. And we have these ways of living where we have an outline of what we think our life should look like, and the phrase, "come with me if you want to live," helps us kind of get there. We understand it when we are presented with it, and it goes like this. If you do this, you will get that. If you come with me, you will live. If you go to college, you'll get a well-paying job, a secure future. If you take out that loan, you'll definitely pay it back. If you get married, you will always be happy. Have no worries, no problems, if you can just find someone to date in the first place. If you go to church, you will never have any problems at all. Yeah? You will never have any death, any sickness, any illness. Things will go well. Doesn't totally line up. So our formula is not always accurate. This "do this, then you will get that" does not always work. And it takes about 3 minutes of living for most of us to discover that that is not something that always works. But like any good human, I keep banging my head against the wall hoping that that formula will work. So it is always not as clear cut as we were hoping. Sometimes that does not end at all what we think, does not end up like we think it is going to end up. We have paperwork, we have losses, we have the foreclosures, we have the people that we have lost unexpectedly or expectedly. We have so much pain, so much hurt, so many bags that we are carrying from this life. And you will be maybe surprised to learn this, but I get to talk about God a lot in the job that I do. I talk with God a lot. People that come to my office, some of y'all, some of you in this very room, or not in the office. But when I talk to people about God, the question of does God exist is not always at the forefront of people's minds. The question most people are trying to make sense of is, who is this God? Who is this God who talks about life, and who is this God in relation to all of the pain that we experience, all of the suffering that we experience? Who is God in my lived experience is a really good question, and one that is at the forefront of people's minds, religious or not. And these people bring their troubles and their cares, and I have troubles and cares just as well, anxieties about our jobs, fears from health changes, uncertainties, all sorts of the anxieties, but even the good things too, the joyful thanksgivings, the giddiness of a new couple, all of these things. They do not ask me to prove if God is real in three simple steps, unless they're Baptist. But they, as a joke, they come, though, with prayers. They do come in faith, and they come asking, who is this God? Can I trust this God? Can I trust Jesus Christ? How can I learn to do that, and do I want to do that? People come and they want to know who Jesus is. And the Gospel of John is all about telling us who Jesus is, this God that we can trust. And Jesus says in this passage, in a roundabout way, come through me if you want to live. The Gospel of John has many unique images of the words that Jesus says. John is kind of the oddball of the four evangelists. And many people are not huge fans of John because he takes certain liberties when writing his account about the life of Jesus. I would love to just talk for a very long time about this, but you don't want that. Most of you don't want that. But what we get when we look at John is that we see this image of a God who cares for us, who talks about himself as a door, as a good shepherd, as somebody who is close to us, caring for us. There's a former Archbishop of Canterbury. His name is Michael Ramsey. He has passed, but he would talk about the Gospel of John, and he had this particular line where he said, "John feels like home to me. Any time I'm reading in Paul or elsewhere in the New Testament, it feels like an excursion into a foreign land. But when I come back to John, I am at home." And that is a sentiment that I hear from many of y'all as well. We read John during Easter. We read John at big times of the church calendar, the big heavy days, the heavy hitters. That's when we pull out the Gospel of John. Thinking about Jesus as a door is a little strange, though. So let's get there. This parable, God is like a shepherd in the way that God cares for us. And we know that line. You have heard that before. And actually, just at the end of this reading, in the line that we don't have, the very next verse, Jesus says the classic, "I am the good shepherd." There's Bibles on your pew racks, believe it or not. And you can read that. Some of the earliest paintings, our earliest etchings, our earliest carvings of Jesus in Christian tombs are of Christ as a good shepherd, carrying a sheep on his shoulders with a crozier, that stick that you see the bishops kind of have, but also it's a functional tool as well. Carrying the sheep, caring for them, bidding that they listen to him, the sheep knowing the voice of the shepherd. It is an image that resonates still to this day. But what Jesus highlights in this passage and what we have is actually not Jesus himself as the shepherd. He says that he is the door. Christ the good door does not have the same ring as Christ the good shepherd. And if you go to West Austin, there's Church of the Good Shepherd, not Church of the Good Door, that exists there. But there is a gate, and there are two ways of entering the sheepfold where the sheep are. Verse 1 says that, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." There is not a secret entrance. There is not a shortcut. There is one way that we come to know God. Rather, God comes to know us, and it is through this gate, through Christ, our door. We have a description of what kind of a shepherd this God is. He comes through the gate, which is good, and the sheep know his voice. He walks ahead of them. And at this point, I get to talk about, I have worked on a farm before. So unlike all of these priests and pastors you'll hear online talking about sheep and what they do, we don't walk in front of sheep. You walk behind them to get them to where you want to go. If they know you very well, they might follow you, especially if you have a little bag of treats. But these sheep know this shepherd's voice, and the disciples still don't get it. So he gets more explicit. He says, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Readers of the Bible for centuries have all sorts of descriptors of Jesus. But the gate, the door, the way that we come to know who this shepherd is as Jesus Christ does a lot of really good theological heavy lifting for us. The way that God comes to find us is through Christ, this door. The way that we hear and know and follow God is through Christ, this door. the ease even, think about it. It was not, it's muggy today, so those doors were closed. But normally you can walk into the church and generally not have any issues getting into this space. I am not saying that if you know what a door is, you know who Christ is, but we are getting close to that. We come to know God through Christ. We come to know God through Jesus, our door, our way, our gate. And what I find, and what maybe you have found, is that even if this door is there, we have expectations of who will come through that door. And in my own life, and maybe in yours, we don't always expect a good shepherd when we think about God. We expect to find a God that will be wrathful, a God that will punish us, insult us, reduce us, check off what we're doing right, check off what we're doing wrong, weighed, balanced, and found wanting. That is not the good shepherd. That is not what we see here. And it's why the image of a door is helpful. Christ, our door to life. Christ, our gate to the living God. Brought to a new reality through this Christ. Things that were old are now new. Things that were torn down are being raised up. All of the ways in which our life is in shambles can be made different. The hope of new life. It is a part of the scandal of what Christ does with this grace and with this mercy. This grace and mercy that is completely unfair and doesn't care about who you are, what you've done, or where you're going, but this free gift that comes to you and meets you. The door is unexpected. It surprises us to know that God is already walking to us. This is not a door that you get to walk through. You do, but it's not on you to walk through it first. The Good Shepherd shows up and goes through the gate and finds us. And it is such good news to hear that when our lives are full of so much pain, so much death, so much anger, so much illness, so much suffering, so many wheels that are just spinning and spinning and spinning. God comes to us first. Jesus comes to us, human and God, and that's the initial movement. And it's only after that God comes to us and says something to us, calling us by name, that we then hear the voice of this good shepherd and follow him. We move toward God at that point, and it is comforting. God that comes to take off these expectations, knowing that there are no pre-qualifications, no credit checks, no card that we have to look at when you get communion up there. And the Episcopal Church is weird, but it's not an unfamiliar language, this language of grace. The Christian life is not about merit points. It's about following this good shepherd who knows us by name and comes to us first. It is centered around Christ, who is our door, who is this door, this path to life, and Christ who has called all of creation good, meaning that he has called you good, and he will draw all things to himself to redeem our cracked and broken world. Come with me if you want to live is an Easter line. I will die on that hill. Jesus is not Arnold, thankfully. He is not a robot. He is not even Austrian. But there is a shepherd that goes through that door. Then that door is Christ, that voice that comes to us in our scriptures, telling us that God is here, that we may have life and have it abundantly. And for those of you that are wanting to know more, for those of you that are asking that question still, what does God want with me? I would draw on my own experience of working at that farm and working with other people that take care of animals. If you've met people that work with cattle, people that work with sheep, even goats, you know, maybe, that they have a great love for these animals. Shepherds are not butchers. Shepherds care for their animals. Shepherds care for their herd. They clean wounds. They carry newborn calves through creeks. They mend the roads so that the feet of their animals don't have to trod on bad ground. Jesus calls himself a shepherd in the same breath that he calls himself a door. He calls himself this good shepherd, and he says that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and he says that the sheep are his own. God says that you are his own, and that that is truly the only thing. Life in abundance, God with us, God on your side. Let us pray. Almighty God, teach us to hear the sound of your voice. We pray all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.